The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
A fourth quarter rally lifts the Bears to a 23-22 NFC home win over the Carolina Panthers at Soldier Field yesterday. The record at 6-1, the lead in the NFC North, a game and a half over the Packers and Vikings. Welcome into Bears Insider, featuring head coach Lovie Smith, and joined in about 15 minutes by Bears defensive backs coach John Hoke. Bears enjoy a five-game winning streak. We'll talk about it next.
Shotgun on 2nd and 8. Jay looking to throw, winds up, open in the end zone. Taylor Davis over the middle. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
And welcome in to Bears Insider as Jay Cutler connects on a 12-yard strike to tight end Kellen Davis. Cuts into a 12-point fourth-quarter deficit with just under 7 to go, sparking the rally that beat the Panthers yesterday. Pleasant good evening on this Victory Monday, and welcome in to Bears Insider here at Hallis Hall, featuring the head coach, Lovie Smith. Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Jeff. How about you?
Fantastic. Always good to get that win. I told you last night, 5-2 wouldn't have looked as good as 6-1.
No doubt. Big difference between the two.
It really is. And, you know, you're knocking off an NFC opponent. That's first and foremost. But it's how you did it. And you learn something more every week about your football team. Maybe something that you already knew, but it was big to come back in the fourth quarter like you did.
Yeah, and, you know, Jeff, we talk all the time about, you know, start fast and a lot of things goes on, you know, before that fourth quarter, but you have to finish. And it all comes down to normally somewhere around that two-minute, you know, time limit on when things really get good.
Yeah, often when Tom and I are doing the game, tight game, maybe not even, maybe even a two-touchdown lead, I'll turn to him the start of the fourth quarter or the 10-minute mark or the 8-minute mark. Tom, has the game started yet? He's, nope, hadn't started yet. And for yesterday, that's exactly what happened.
No, and that's definitely how it happens. And not just our game. It's like that in most games. It's, you know, you just never out of it, and you have to make a play at the end. That's why you have to have yourself in condition to be able to play your best ball, you know, maybe right at that 60-minute mark.
This will probably rattle your cage a little bit, but I've been dying to ask you, when you hear or read or discussion, it could be your neighbor, it could be a family member, hey, you guys are lucky to win that game, or you didn't deserve to win that game. What goes through your head when you hear stuff like that?
Oh, I just, I don't even know how to respond to it, because first of all, the best team wins. And I've heard this about, well, we outplayed them. No, you didn't. That's why you wait to the end of the game, and then you see who's up on top. And that's the way it was for us yesterday. We didn't play our best ball throughout, but when we needed to. But you look at some of the things we did well, though. They seemed like they were small at the time. Even though defensively they were moving the ball on us, they weren't getting touchdowns.
Bingo.
They were getting field goals. And then we were just hanging in there. We had too many turnovers on the offensive side of the ball, but, again, we kept them to field goals. And then later on, once we got it moving, you know, offensively, we were able to get some touchdowns.
And the thing of it is, that's exactly what it is, because it's 60-minute strategy. It's not 56-minute strategy. It's not 30-minute strategy. It's 60 minutes of strategy. So you stop them, you force them to hit 5 field goals. That last one they hit was even bigger, because they could have run out the clock if you didn't stop them on that third down. And they had success on third down. We'll get into that later. But, you know, every little bit matters. It's a whole puzzle that has to be put together, and the finish is the finish. And that's exactly right when you're talking about that, because those 5 stops defensively were very big.
They really were. And we had, of course, a chance to dissect and just look at every play that happened yesterday with all 3 phases. And there were so many plays, Jeff. If we hadn't have come through and made that play, we would have lost the game. That's why we tell the guys, you never know when that play will you know, dictate the outcome of the game.
Do you happen to know the exact number? Did you, of total plays?
No, I just know there were.
But there were.
There were lot of plays.
You can count on 2 hands?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can, Jeff. There were a lot of plays where, and then late, once you get yourself behind, you haven't played your best ball, and now it's at the end of the game, now there's no room for error. And that's what I was impressed with our football team, when we had to make a play. Offensively, we had to go down and get in position to kick the field goal. Then protection was good. You know, we're throwing and catching, stopping them on the defensive side of the ball. Everything was clicking.
I made a statement that it all started with a six-yard punt, but you took it back even further than that today.
Yes, I think it definitely did. And if you just look at the fourth quarter, we missed a field goal, but we drove right away. From there, of course, defense going out there, then it take you know, up Jeff to the three and out, the big third and one, stopping them then.
Mike Tolbert.
Forcing the six-yard punt, and then from there, momentum was in our favor.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap is back. He's staring down. Steve Smith threw it right to Jim Jennings. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Bears! Jim Jennings to the house. No way! But yes, they did it again.
And they definitely did. And they is the defense. Tim Jennings with his first NFL touchdown, a team single season record, 6 pick 6, and an NFL record in the first 7 games of a season. Lovie Smith, how about that? NFL record. No one's ever put 6 pick 6s in the house in the first 7 games of an NFL season. But now you can put down the 2012 Chicago Bears.
In the history of the
correct.
NFL.
That is correct. Now, the all-time record, Now, I believe you know what it is. You must.
No, tell me.
You don't know? Seriously?
No,
all right. It's 9. Ooh, look at the grin. There's a lot of football left to go. I think you even intimated that earlier today. It'll be interesting to see where this goes in terms of that. 9 by the Chargers in 1961. That is the NFL record for pick 6 touchdowns. So, readily attainable. Not that that's all that matters.
Our record, 8-1942, something around those terms. Chicago Bear record, somewhere around there.
I don't know that one. You got me now. See, yeah, you threw me a curveball. I don't know what that one is. But then it would be very nice to get into double digits doing something like that. Wouldn't that look nice?
Yeah, and that's we're talking to our defense. You know, we're close and we know that we're doing some good things as far as taking the ball and scoring. But let's not put a limit. We haven't made it to the halfway point of the season and. And as you look at all of these returns for touchdown, they're helping us win games as much as anything.
And of course, we are joking around here. The bigger picture is winning a Super Bowl and not records. But along the way, that'll help you get there. The Play of the Week brought to you by McDonald's of the Chicago Bears. Play of the Week. Now, Jennings on that play, we asked him in postgame, I think Zach did, in postgame, to break down that play. And it sounded like, forget about Steve Smith slipping, though. It sounded like he was taking an oral exam and going through every detail of his responsibilities. Boom. Just like a golfer would when he's recapping his round at a major event. What's that say about the preparation level and about the understanding and the knowledge of the scheme, his responsibilities, the fundamental, you name it. And we'll ask John Hoke when he comes in as well. But we are glad to hear that. I don't know if you heard it, but are you glad to hear that coming out of his mouth?
No, I didn't hear it, but yes, I'm glad to hear that coming out of his mouth because that's exactly, he's telling you exactly what he's gone through in his head, and that's how he is preparing to play the way he's been playing on Sundays. It is about preparation, you know, once you get, you know, at a certain level. And I'm going to go back to when I talk preparation for Tim, he'll tell you last year he had opportunities. Ball hit him in the hands a few times. Just need to catch the ball. So I know Steve Smith slipped, but I think Tim would have had a chance even if he hadn't have slipped. But still, you have to complete the play. You have to catch the ball. And then to be able to catch it and go from defense to offense and get it into an end zone. But that's the way he's been playing all year.
16 targeted throws to Steve Smith. Only 7 completions. 3 pass breakups, although I haven't seen the coach's review of that. I don't know if it went up or down. Plus the touchdown. So, to me, that's an A. I don't know if you gave him one, but Steve Smith seemed to think that, you know, he burned him up pretty good yesterday. So, I don't know how he sees that. And Steve Smith did not score a touchdown, I believe, in the last 3 games against the Bears. So, yes, yardage is great, and they did pile some up. But, again, the defense kept him out of the end zone, and I think that's the bigger picture story here.
Yeah, and that's why, Jeff, it's according to how you look at things. You talk early about we were outplayed. No, we weren't. Well, they had a lot more yards than we did. Yeah, but that's not what wins football games. I mean, it's the same thing with Steve Smith and Tim as you look at them. Yeah, Steve Smith's a great player. Tim said that, like we handled it after the game. But you look at the plays that really counted. Tim Jennings scored, had another interception, and almost had a third one where he jumped in front of him. So he played an outstanding game. We don't evaluate Steve Smith. We're evaluating Tim Jennings. Tim Jennings played outstanding ball against him yesterday.
And a lot of this is also being made possible because of the pass rush. The four-man pass rush is getting it done. I believe it's an NFL leading quarterback rating of under 30 with 11 sacks coming into the game. So I think probably a couple of more from yesterday's game. And that was it Melton put the heat on that one? So it's a hand-in-hand thing going on right now.
Yes, we had good pressure against a great player in Cam Newton. He's hard to pull down. Julius Peppers played really well. You mentioned Henry Melton played outstanding ball yesterday. And Nate Collins dressed for the first time yesterday, Jeff, and he was a factor.
No, he had a sack on the first snap.
Yeah, that's the way. He had a couple, really, if we just had done some other things right. But just his play on beating his man one-on-one, when you get an opportunity to play, that's the type of effort you want to see a player come and have the first time he gets his uniform.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith. Joined this week by defensive backs coach John Hope. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
41-yard try. Left hash, angle right. Manley on the ball. Pavlish extends his right hand. Placement made. Kick by Robbie. He's up. It is good. It is good as gold. And the Bears have rallied to beat the Panthers at Soldier Field. Bears 23, Carolina 22.
10th game winner in Robbie Gould's career and the 200th field goal made. He joins Kevin Butler, the only Bears to reach that number. Good from 41. Joined now by David Akers and Rob Baronis, who has 201 since 2005. Jeff Joniak along with Lovie Smith and now joined by John Hoke, the Bears defensive backs coach. We'll get to him in a moment, but that field goal in that day, and he said it was one of the more difficult days for wind, and that's saying something given what's gone on here at Soldier Field over the years with Robbie been here since 2005. But it was not simple, and, you know, calling the game, I heard the connection, foot to ball. It was a real loud thud, and those usually mean good things.
I'm glad it did. you're right, but the wind was blowing, and as you mentioned, Robbie, that was kicked, you know, it's in Soldier Field, a lot of games, a lot with some tough conditions, but he was able to, you know, get it together, and we've just seen him do that so many times. Guys knew if we just got it in position, they knew Robbie would come through, and he did.
And it wouldn't have been possible without the 6-for-7 throwing game of Jay Cutler. Four of those completions to Brandon Marshall. They took what the defense gave them there, right?
Yes, they
did.
All
the way down the field.
Just outstanding job. You're right. Of first, of course, his protection up front, you know, giving Jay a chance, and he had the combination going. I mean, of course, Brandon Marshall caught a lot of them. You know, Earl, you know, Bennett also was involved with it. Just great job by the O.
All right, now let's talk about the man of the day, Tim Jennings. John Hoke, he is a major topic of conversation. Yes, it was a team win, but his pick six, he was at the podium down there. And just so much conversation earlier today about Steve Smith and what he had to say about his new buddy, Tim Jennings. But overall, the performance yesterday, how would you evaluate Tim Jennings' performance yesterday and Steve Smith?
Well, you know, Steve Smith's obviously a Pro Bowl receiver. He's going to get his plays. What you want to try to do is limit the big plays and just contain him. And as much as anything, not let him get in the end zone. Don't let him score. And I felt for the most part, obviously, Tim did that. You know, he made the one tough ball catch down the sideline, the one deep ball. But, you know, at the end of the day, Tim ended up scoring more touchdowns than he did. So, that to me, that was a good
thing. That's exactly right. And that Steve Smith, when he can leap, and so those sideline throws, that's patented Steve Smith.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a tremendous competitor, obviously. He has tremendous talent. He's a very good football player, and you give him all his respect. But, you know, because of Tim's competitive nature, that's what allowed Tim to go and, you know, and at least challenge him and keep playing him and stay after him because they're both competitive people. And that's why Tim was able to hang in there. And at the end of the day, he made the play that helped us win the football game.
He made another one that people probably are not really focused on, but when Lavelle goes down the middle of the field like a bat out of you know where.
Yeah.
Who made the tackle, folks?
Tim. And you know what? That's why we always preach, and Coach does a great job of preaching it to our players. That's why we run to the ball. That's how you keep big plays from becoming bigger plays. Obviously, it was a big play as it was, but that became it could have been a bigger play if he doesn't keep chasing the ball.
You're right, and as we were talking about plays, any you know, or so many plays, any one of them would make a difference in the outcome of the game. You're right. That one had gone. If he had scored on that one, we would have lost the game. It's as simple as that.
62 yards, man. He had some speed, so that tells you that Jennings is pretty quick as well. Bigger picture, now the defense has 6 touchdowns in the 5-game winning streak and have allowed only 4. That's rare, obviously, for any team in the league. But the mindset now, just obviously they've been around long enough to know that's what you guys want and a certain level expect once they take the ball away. But so early in a season, so much immediate success, does that just open up a whole new possibility for these guys? Because even Tim's comment today, hey, I had to get one of these. I had to get one of these in the end zone. Everybody's getting all this attention. It really is like a feeding frenzy right now.
Well, it's a special group of men in the defensive room when you go in there to be around, which is a neat situation to be in. The other part of it is they're all extremely competitive. And we have a board, you know, we keep track of all those type of things that Coach Marinelli has put up there. And, you know, Coach Smith does a nice job of coming in there and finding out who's on that board and who's not on that board. And if you're not on the board, you know, it becomes a little bit of a stressful situation for you.
Give me an example. Pretend for a minute that we're in a team meeting right now and I come walking in and my name isn't on the board. Coach, what are you doing?
No, I'm not doing a whole lot. I mean, we can't start telling you everything we do within
our
Bears
Insider
meeting room.
This is Bears Insider.
Some things you have to keep, of course, amongst the guys.
Just humor me. Take me to task.
No,
do something to me.
No, Jeff, it's just...
I didn't know the Bears record for so take me to task. You know, I'm not on the board.
Well, I'll just say this. There's a special club, and it's not one of those exclusive clubs that anyone can join it. I mean, you have an invitation. All you have to do is take the ball away. It's as simple as that. And if you're not in the club, you know, there's something wrong with you. It's something that you definitely want to do.
Kind of engraved in our head. I think every man would say the same. Coach Marinelli and our coaching staff do a great job of preaching about scoring with the ball with every chance that we get. You know, it's just offense is not the only team that feel like put points on the board. We have a great special teams, and we just kind of want to, you know, make it even more tough on our opponent when our defense can score also.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith and defensive backs coach John Hope. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
That was Bears cornerback Tim Jennings earlier this afternoon at Hallis Hall meeting the media, breaking things down. And when you coach, is John Hoke, and here with Bears head coach Lovie Smith on Bears Insider at 7:34. Hear that coming back to you, what you tell them. Does that feel like you feel good that the message is downloaded and it's being what's the word I'm looking for? Come on, you're the wordsmith.
They're listening.
Yes, thank you. Something
they
to that
come
effect.
As simple as that.
Yeah,
and they're
then
hearing
that's,
you.
That's a part of the battle, right?
Always.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get their attention, and you got their attention loud and clear.
No, they have gotten the message, and they know how important that is. I think to a man, they will all say that, but it's just one thing to say it, but you see them doing it, and that's what you really like as a coach.
All right, safeties. The Bears Public Relations Department has put out some really detailed information on the starts with Conte and Major and what that has meant in terms of takeaways and the minimal amount of touchdowns. That's just math on paper. On the field, what are you seeing in their development and how it's impacting the entire defense? Tim Jennings today saying that what they're doing back there is helping him and Charles do their jobs at cornerback.
Yeah, they got a lot of trust in Major and in Chris. And you know, the longer Chris and Major continue to play together, the more comfortable they get with each other, the better the communication is with the whole group when they're together back there. They're two young guys that are extremely talented athletically, and you can see them grow. You see them every game. You know, they'll still have a mistake there, here or there, which all players do, but you can see the mistakes are getting less. And you can just see they're playing with more confidence. Right now, Major's playing with a lot of confidence right now. He's tackling well. He's breaking on the ball well. Chris is coming along. So it's a neat situation with those two players to see them develop.
and their tackling. I made a comment to Lovey yesterday before the game that the Bears were number one in the league in preventing yards after the catch, 4.1 yards coming into yesterday's game, mm-hmm. which means you're tackling. You're not giving up a lot, and that's critical in this particular defense. Critical every defense,
yeah,
but...
You know, when you grew up coaching, when you grew up playing defense, you know, there was two things, run to the ball and tackle. Those were the two. To this day, those are run to the ball and tackle. Those will still get it done for you. But, you know, along with tackling, you got to know how to leverage the ball, which our guys understand very well, inside out, outside in, keep the ball inside and in front. And then when you get there, be good tacklers. And we work on tackling. The whole defense works on tackling. There's not a day that goes by in practice where there's not a coach out there doing a tackling drill.
What I'm really impressed with is the word communication, because you take it for granted because you have to. You need to talk to each other back there. But it hasn't always been the case. I think Major admitted that, and some of it is on him working harder, making sure he understands what's going on. The instincts now combining with knowledge make it a better athlete and a better player. There's some mental speed thrown into the mix here. Mm-hmm. Do you see that they're playing faster, those two guys?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they understand the defense better. You know, Chris, I believe a year ago was his first year. He did not have a training camp because of the lockout situation. So, you know, him getting up to speed, he's done it pretty rapidly, but he didn't have the same amount of time as maybe some of the other players did. So he's gotten up to speed quickly.
He hadn't played that position.
No.
That's another thing.
Yeah, because in college he was primarily a corner. I think it was his senior year they moved him to safety. And, you know, I just can see him continue to develop to be a heck of a football player for us.
So these two corners, Tillman and Jennings, making play after play after play, week after week after week. Has it given you guys, both you guys, jump in on this, just great comfort and flexibility that no matter who they put out there, you've got an answer in terms of size, speed, whatever, you can match up. You got DJ, you got Kelvin Hayden. You've got options.
We have a good group of men, you know, like I said, to work with, as I said earlier. And coach can jump in at any time, but they do give you some flexibility because they're really two different type of athletes.
Yeah.
With Charles being big, physical, is able to run down the field with receivers, those type of guy, and that, you know, can match up with the bigger receivers. Tim's smaller, obviously, quicker, obviously has good speed. We saw that again yesterday. So that it does give you some options. Not everybody has the same type of receiver, so... you know, if you're dealing with a big receiver, you have Charles. If you got to deal with a quicker guy, maybe a smaller guy, you know, it gives you some options. It was funny. I was reading something today, and it was Seattle, who's done a nice job defensively. And they were talking about one of their corners. They're big. He goes, we can handle the big corners. We have problems with the smaller, quicker guys. So we have, you know, I was reading that saying, well, we're in a unique situation. We have both.
Yeah, and that's what's good. So it done, you know, you look at receivers. You're going to have the big receiver who's, you know, can use his body, and then you're going to have, as Jalen said, the quick receivers, and we can match up that way. And something else I think that all we have that most teams don't have is one thing to play the pass, but how many corners really tackle? We have complete corners. Both of them will stick their head in there. Both of them will strip the ball. All those things you want them to do, we have the perfect combination.
I suspect that if you didn't teach it every day, that interception before the half by Jennings maybe wouldn't have happened. The throw to Greg Olsen. It's a wounded duck. You could easily just laid back, stick on your man, but he went hard for that football. Greg Olsen, no disrespect to Greg, mm-hmm. did not. Right?
Yes. No, we do. I mean, a part of, if you're on the field, you know, John was talking about some of the basic fundamentals on just when you're growing up about running to the ball and tackling. I mean, just that, but... Play hard. You say, what do we do? What's our defense about? You know, you hear 3-4, 4-3, all that, and you hear people giving us a label, Tampa 2 and all that. But what we do is we insist on we try to get 11 guys to the ball each play, and good things happen. It's kind of as simple as that.
Are you both, and this is a team that there's a lot of humility in that locker room. You don't hear guys talking about themselves. Are you comfortable with the notion that right now, as some have projected, and I'm in that camp, that through 7 games anyway, there's not a better tandem at corner in the league making plays right now than Tim Jennings and Charles Tillman?
You know, you'd have to ask somebody else those questions. All I can do is I know that what they're going to do is they're going to show up to the park
on Sunday or whenever we play. They're going to show up to the game. I know they've prepared through the week, and they'll be ready to play the best football they can play.
That's the answer I knew you were going to give me.
And, that's all you can ask as a coach, but that's it. And that's what I truly believe.
It's truly is really as simple as that. And, you know, the trade deadline is coming through. We're not out there trying to trade to bring another corner in. We like the two that we have.
And how about some of the guys that, you know, more and more getting some Calvin Hayden snaps in there.
Mm-hmm.
Solid veteran at a minimum. So what are you getting?
Well, Calvin Hayden has been, obviously, in my opinion, and I'm sure coaches too, we're so glad he's on our football team. You have a veteran player who comes to work every day, very professional, understands his role, and you feel comfortable whenever you need to play. If he has to go on the field, you really don't, there's no panic. Hey, Kelvin's in. Charles needs a break. Tim needs a break. You know he's prepared. You know he's done what he needs to do during the week, and you know he's played in big games, and he understands his role, and he handles it like a pro.
How about DJ? How's he coming along?
DJ is still working on it, and he's working in the positive way. You know, we'd like to see him make more plays. He has the ability to make more plays. He's still got to work on being as disciplined as he can be with what he's being taught from a technique standpoint. But you can see the progress. He's still growing. He's still a young player.
Anything that you weren't happy with yesterday?
There's always plays out there that you wish you would have played better. I think, you know, if we would have played this technique a little bit better, we might have bought time for the quarterback to hold the ball, maybe got another sack or something like that. You know, there's always going to be plays out there. You want more consistency, I think, every time you go out there. I know you can't play a perfect game, but there's nothing wrong with trying to play that perfect game.
And right out of the words of Rod Marinelli, that word consistency is constantly out of the Bears defensive coordinator's mouth. All right, we're going to let you go. Get ready for the Tennessee Titans. Quick word on them real quick.
Good football team. You know, they're well coached. I know the offensive coordinator, Chris Palmer. He was with him when I was with him in Houston. They'll be very sound. They'll want to run the football, play action pass. They have weapons on the field. Obviously, they have the back is a very talented back. They've got talented receivers. And they got a veteran quarterback right now who's been in a lot of football games, and he knows how to lead. So, dangerous team. We got to be ready to go.
Bears defensive back coach John Hoke, thanks for joining us.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Oh, we're fine. No need to panic. We're not doing anything horribly bad that takes weeks and weeks to fix. I mean, we can fix this in a couple days and get back right on track.
That is Jay Cutler, the Bears quarterback, who connected on a touchdown strike to Kellen Davis. Matt Forte had a touchdown, and the Bears get one defensively as well. And they beat the Carolina Panthers 23-22. Welcome back to our final segment here on Bears Insider on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. You can ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night Live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card. So use the hashtag BearsToyota. And you can listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR, 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Back here at 7:48 with Lovey Smith. All right, let's talk about Jay Cutler. Talk about what happened early and then how he bounced back. And the offensive line, whether it was just them or a combination of Jay's confidence level and getting rid of the ball faster, things getting better in the second half, but clearly two different halves in terms of protection and sacks and just offensive execution.
Yes, and I think sometimes, Jeff, that's the answer. I know a lot of times people want you to tell them exactly what happened every time when things don't go well, but the answer is we just didn't play our best ball. And I say we, everyone. Jay was a part of that. Offensive line was a part of that. We as coaches would like to have a couple calls back. It was just all of the above. And we did some things. We had too many sacks. Can't let our quarterback get hit. And that was a combination of things that led to that. We did some good things in the running game early on. Matt Forte had some good runs in the passing game also. But we just couldn't put together long and sustain long drives. Moved the ball a little bit, threw an interception early. And, of course, the fumbles that we had.
All those things. 0 for 6 on third down to start.
0 for 6. And that's why it's hard to get into a groove And, you know, there were some other plays we wanted to run, but when you, you know, three and out and you can't have a long drive, it's hard to get things going.
I know people, okay, you could have run the ball more. But, again, you didn't have the number of plays. Now, granted, that's your own fault as well for not converting on third down or giving the ball away. But that is a factor. You only had 55 snaps.
Yes. And believe me, when things aren't going well, if you pass, you should have run. If you run all, you should have passed. So you're going to always get that. We didn't. We didn't have enough plays. We didn't convert on third downs the way we needed to really get into the flow. All that said, I'm going to still jump to the fourth quarter and what we're able to do then when we had to. Now, all the cards out on the table, and we see exactly where, of course, how many points we needed. That's when we moved down the field and got it done.
Here's the other big thing. Jay Cutler managed the situation, meaning that he wasn't just throwing the ball over the field just to try and make a play, try too hard. So he was as big a part, and the offense was as big a part in that third quarter and the fourth quarter when you're starting to get things back, as those five stops to field goals on the defensive side of the ball, because everything, you were still within striking distance. So that was a concerted effort on both parties.
Yes, it was. And as bad as things were, we assume as bad as things were in the first half, what was the score as we went in it? As we walked in to that tunnel at half, what was the score?
Oh, I don't know the halftime. What was the halftime score? It was a six-point game.
13-7.
Yeah, okay.
13-7.
You had me doubting myself.
Yeah, 13-7 was a score. Right. I mean, with all the things
and
going
on. And getting the ball.
And you're right. We, you know, Jeff, we normally don't defer early on, but we just really want that ball to start the second half. And we're able to get that. So as I saw it going in at halftime, even though we hadn't played our best ball, we're down by 6 points. We're going to get the ball, and I know that we're a second-half team.
Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Not every quarterback can lead a fourth quarter final drive comeback. It's the real steady performers who do it repeatedly over time that become great quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. Everyone can. And I think that's how you really judge a special quarterback. And just keep in mind, once all, you know, we played most of the game, and we're down to a couple minutes, whatever, left in the game. Now you're to a point where you have, doing most of the game, Jeff, you don't have to be perfect. But in that two-minute drive, now you have to be perfect every play. And that's when you tell exactly what you have. And you look at Jay Cutler, when he's in those situations, he'll just mark you right down the football field and make all of the throws you have to make.
Offensive, I know you were asked about this earlier today, just in general through seven games, there have been a lot of positives, a lot of flash points, and I think that word consistency probably will be what you want to see from the offensive side. Now, continuing to build, and what is the first year in this system?
Yes, and we'll have to. I mean, things, of course, are going to get – things have been tough every week. But we know now that the farther you go into the season – you know, early on, you expect some of those things to happen. But once you get around this halfway point, now you need to clean those things up and for us to be able to play our best ball, not just in the fourth quarter. You want to play four full quarters.
What did you think of the squib kickoffs? Were you surprised? I was surprised that they were that committed to keeping Devin out of the mix.
Well, you have to look at what's happened. You know, Devin last year took one back against them, and no one knows Devin Hester as well as Ron Rivera and some of the guys on our staff. So to take him out of the mix completely, and you know, which they did, especially with how the game was going, to let, you know, kick it off to Devin and let him get a big play and get momentum going, I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, I still count that as Devin yardage then. So that's a pie. His mere presence gave you, and you didn't take advantage of it as much as you would have liked,
no,
but you'll take it.
You're right. We didn't take advantage of it, but they felt good about it. And for us, we had excellent field position starting off most of the time.
And it's also a great experience for everyone else who had a chance. Those bouncing balls are very difficult.
We, you know, talking with Dave Tope, our special teams coordinator, we haven't had that many guys, you know, with return yardage on the kickoff return in a long time. Probably never will
Stelts,
again.
Stelts, Allen, Weems. Who else? Wooten. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy Johns. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And be sure to watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network. At 7:54 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. A word on the run defense, because I read where, or somebody said that the Bears were getting gouged, and then I looked up the math, and, you know, Jonathan Stewart, 2.5 yards a carry, D'Angelo Williams, 3 yards a carry, Mike Tolbert, 2.3 yards a carry. That's not getting gouged in the run game. Now, the quarterback had a couple scrambles, but he's special in that regard. So I thought the run defense was pretty good yesterday. What'd you think?
No, I thought it was pretty good, too, and I'm just going to go back to that perception versus reality. We play good run defense throughout, just like we've done some other good things defensively. But too many yards still, and you mentioned Cam, Cam Newton, the quarterback, and that's the one guy you normally don't have a lot of people allotted to as far as stopping him. If you have a running quarterback, they can get some yards from time to time, but you have to just keep them to a minimum, which we were able to do.
In terms of how you define a snap, I don't recall the actual option play yesterday one time. Did you?
They had maybe a couple. Elements of it. Not where they actually took it out with the option part of it. You know, quarterback being able to possibly pitch it to a back. They did not do that.
But prepare for it.
Yeah, we prepared an awful lot. And that's a part of their offense, too, where you have to, as a defense, you have to prepare for it still. But going into the game, we thought they, and the way, you know, it seemed that they were wanting to get away from that and become more of a traditional offense.
Okay. Let's take a look at Tennessee. Matt, we touched on Matt Hasselbeck with Coach Hoke, and you made reference to the fact that because of Seattle and your days in St. Louis, you've seen this guy a lot, so you know he's got savvy. He's a veteran. I don't believe Jake Locker's ready to come back. They'll stick with Matt Hasselbeck, it appears, this week. At least that's what we know now. What can you tell us?
Well, Matt Hasselbeck has played against our defense probably as much as any quarterback in the league. Start with that. You know, when we're at St. Louis and he was in Seattle. Really, just go back even before that. We're in Tampa and he was at Green Bay. And then when he was in Seattle and we were in St. Louis and, of course, our times here, we played against him quite a few times. He feels pretty good about knowing what we do defensively. But a lot of people know what we're doing defensively. It's still about execution, but he's a good player. He's been a good player in the league for a long time. Jake Locker is a good player also. Whoever they play there, we have to be ready. They have a good offensive line, and they have a special running back.
Yeah, let's talk about Chris Johnson. Slower start this year, but the last 5 games kicked it in. Had 99 yesterday in the overtime loss to Indianapolis, but there was a 4-game stretch where he was leading the league in rushing and now up to 4.5 yards a carry, a couple of touchdowns, and he's the guy that if you do not tackle him, he's gone.
Yeah.
This unique speed at that position.
Yes, just great. You're right, elite. As fast as any running back in the league. So we have to be disciplined, keep him pinned in. That's why it'll be important to get as many people as possible to the ball every time. And also, when you have a running attack like it, it opens some things up, in their passing game too, and they have 2 excellent receivers.
Tell us about the rookie, Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright, good quickness, can catch the ball, just a, good athlete. We did, an awful lot on him coming out of college, really liked him a lot. He played great ball at Baylor University for Art Brown, so we know a little bit about him. Kenny Britt's a good football player also.
And then the defensively, what's their their system? What are they doing?
Well, defensively, 4-man front. Really, I shouldn't say 4-man. I'll just say multiple front. Jerry Gray does a super job with them. Jerry has been in a lot of different systems. He'll have them playing hard, and it'll be a challenge for him.
All right, they had a couple interceptions this year, and the sack totals, Cameron Wimbley and Derek Morgan. They don't have many, but they've been playing well. They beat Pittsburgh, and they beat Buffalo on the road in a shootout. So they've had games. They played with Detroit. Went 44-41. They beat the Lions. So they have the capability of scoring on you.
No, they really do. And you're just going back to defense, Wimbley is a heck of a player. Can really rush off of the edge. No, they're capable. Have a good offensive line, too. They're playing at home. And, And they're behind in their division right now. So, all the games, Jeff, from here on out, we're going to be talking like this, like we've been even up until now.
Real quick, we're healthy, right? What are you seeing?
Healthy, good to go. Everybody should be out there. Alshon Jeffery is getting better and better.
Close. All right, love you. Good show. Bears Insider, wrap it up. Thanks very much for everybody for their help, including our director of broadcasting, Greg Miller, and producers, Steve Grzanich and Andy Gersher. For Bears head coach, Lovie Smith, and defensive back coach, John Hoke, I'm Jeff Joniak. We'll bring the game to you from Nashville, 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff on Sunday. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is WBBM at HD Chicago, WCFS FM at HD1, Elmwood Park, Chicago. Have a great night, everybody. The Bears are 6-1, a game and a half clear of the Pack and Vikings in the NFC North. Good night.